Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I am your host, Ben Trueblood. Here with me today is Chris Swain.
That's me.
And John Paul Basham, also here.
Hello.
Today. So we are continuing with a discussion that we started last episode about different segments of students in your ministry, in your community, and how to reach them. But before we get to that, I want to give you the not-so-subtle reminder that we really like your ratings and reviews. We'd love to know how you think we're doing, how we can improve, and we like 5 stars even better than both of those things.
Mm-hmm. But we like your reviews as long as they're positive and have 5 stars attached to them.
And constructive. Positively constructive.
I would take a random 4-star review if it were accompanied by a pithy comment.
Pithy?
Yeah, whatever that means.
And if you can somehow tie a Seal lyric into your rating and review,
whoa,
that would be epic.
And difficult.
We may need to cough up a gift card for something like that.
The most creative use of a Seal lyric in a Lifeway Student Ministry podcast review. We'll see what you come up with. But all silliness and ridiculousness aside, leaving a positive rating and review helps others find the podcast, which we would love to have happen. Thank you for listening. We enjoy doing this podcast for you. And our goal is to serve you well and help you in your mission of making disciples of students and their families. So hopefully what you find here is practical, good information and training and student ministry talk. And so with that, we will dive right in. Last episode, we had a discussion on reaching and ministering to jocks, homeschoolers, and geeks. Today, we're going to cover these three: Christian school kids, creatives, and the uninterested kids in your ministry. So those three are what we're going to dive into today, beginning with Christian school students. And so I've served in 2 churches that have had Christian school students. One that had a Christian school on site, like it was at the church. And so some of you have that situation going on. I mean, every student ministry I've served in has had some Christian school kids, but 2 stand out to me more than any. That one, and then another one where there were more private schools in the community than there were public schools. It was a place where John Paul and I served together, and we had students from, 5 or 6 different Christian schools. Maybe more than that.
Yeah.
That's just off the top of my head, coming to our student ministry. And so this is a really, really important topic because, I do think that ministering to and reaching, this group of students, this segment of students can be pretty challenging. One of those challenges being they have as a part of their curriculum what you're trying to do in your ministry. Study the Bible, discipleship, learn about God.
Sure.
They do chapel every week, a lot of these schools. And so that's a part of what they do every single week and some of them every day in their schools. And you're trying to do it and make it look different and fresh. And so that can be a challenge to reach this group of students.
Yeah, and I think another challenge is what you mentioned earlier. A lot of Christian schools take place in a church. And if you're serving at that church, going to church for that student is essentially going to school. And there's nothing, there are a few things as difficult as, hey, get excited about coming back to school tonight or Sunday,
yeah.
You know, add another day to that. And so it can be a challenge just helping them see the difference between the two. And hopefully if the school is operating well and the church is operating well, you're helping make that distinction in a positive way. You know, they want to come back, but at the same time, it can be a challenge for that student to separate in some ways those two. And that can also be a positive thing. You know, if school and or church is a positive thing for them, then they look forward to coming both to school and to church. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So part of the conversation that we had with the last group of students was that we always need to look for the positives.
Yeah.
In every segment of students that we have. And so, you know, part of those positives with Christian school kids is there is a tremendous amount of engagement with the Word. there's a, you know, a daily encouragement to follow Jesus everywhere they are. A lot of times Christian school students are in a Christian home, so you have that influence from parents. Sometimes that's not the case, but
sometimes it's rehab.
Sometimes it is. But so you have some situations where you've got Christian parents at home and then Christian teachers at school, and then you are all pushing them toward a genuine walk with the Lord, which can be a great benefit.
Yeah, it could be a super healthy discipling environment if all those things work together.
Right.
Yeah.
So another challenge that I've seen in this segment is not every Christian school is going to share your same theological viewpoint. And so there are going to be moments when things that you're teaching in your student ministry differ from the theological stance that is being taught or explored in a Christian school environment. And that can create a really interesting dynamic, both for the positive in opening up discussions on things and dealing with issues that a lot of other students aren't even thinking about yet. Sometimes this segment of students is thinking about these because they're really wrestling with what they believe on their own. On the other side of that, it could possibly bring into the student ministry some theological viewpoints that you don't want to spread throughout your ministry, and, sure, and you need to handle that delicately and not make a student look like an idiot or demean a student or something like that. But as the student ministry leader, you are responsible for the truth to be told and for theology to be talked about in, in a, an environment that is biblically accurate and can be supported through scripture and not opinion or history.
Well, and another issue here that I think is critical is if you're serving at the church that has the school, sometimes other ministries, other churches around can look negatively at your ministry because they may feel like the students I have that are going to that Christian school, you have access to them that I might not. Whether it's merited or not, they may think that. And conversely, if you have a Christian school in your community and you are the church that it is not a part of, you can maybe feel challenged by that. So I think when you look at the school, when you look at what they're trying to accomplish, building a healthy relationship with other ministries in the area, whether you're the church where the school's at or whether you're a church that's just in the community, try to reach out to those leaders and build community versus maybe seeing that as a barrier or something that keeps you from working together to reach all of the students in your community.
Yeah, and I think we need to teach our students to speak the right way about where they go to church in both situations, if they go to church where the school is or they go to church somewhere else. Something that we've heard over and over with Christian school kids is there's all the time like, oh, my ministry is better than your ministry. And it becomes this competition between student ministries. Oh, well, we do this. Oh, that's not biblical. We do this. And it's like,
yeah, that's what they talk about at school.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then, you know, it's not healthy conversation. It pits one church against another who are both trying to lead students in the same direction, hopefully. Sure. You know, it's highlighting the negative things that may or may not even be true about the ministry, you know, and it's really, in the end, it's dividing the church in a way that we should not allow our students to do. So there's a lot of coaching that we can do and just helping students to be loving through that.
Yeah. It's community, body of Christ. It's, hey, you guys are, you may go to different churches, but, you know, we're all called to reach this community for the sake of the gospel. So how, the second question we always ask about this, we started in our last episode, is how do we reach into this segment or this community of students? One of the ways that I would throw out there is the same thing that we would say about any of these others, and that's get in their world, right? So if you have a large group of Christian school students, either the school is at your church or it's in your community, then be on that school campus. Talk to the faculty. I mean, you are a minister, and so that school has chapel. Find out how you can speak in that chapel service. Maybe that chapel service is being led by faculty and they're swamped and they have a ton of stuff to do and they're waiting for someone to come in and say, hey, I would love to give some guidance and leadership to this chapel service if you would have me. You could be serving that faculty in an incredible way by taking that over. And then you have an amazing opportunity and platform for the gospel and for leadership in that situation. Now, the other side of that is if you sense that they're super protective about that, then obviously you don't want to offer to them how you can take it over. right. But I guarantee you they're looking for people to fill slots. And you could be that slot filler.
Right. And I think ultimately, too, another challenge there, another stumbling block that you can come across if you're not careful, is the staff of the school. If they are, if, you know, if there's animosity between you as a minister on staff at the church where the school is at, and the school staff, the teachers, the instructors, even the coaches, you've got to be careful. I've gotten in a situation where a church I've served at had a Christian school, and there was animosity between the two, and it was a challenge. And so it's one of those things you've got to be looking out to. Try to reach out, build relationships with those leaders as best you can.
Well, it's like we've had an episode already, and I'm sure we'll do more in the future about how to reach out to the schools. It's in the same way that we need to be talking about our students. You know, what do they need? How can we minister to them? How can we reach them? We need to be talking to the schools the same way. What do you need? How can we serve you?
Right.
You know, we have a group of students and their parents and hopefully your church staff that are willing to be mobilized as a force in the community for the sake of the gospel. And so what better place to pour resources into than the schools that are all around us? And so that's just, you know, whether it's the chapel or the landscaping, any amount of service to that school is going to earn you some points there relationally.
Yeah, this one is close to my heart personally because I was a Christian school kid. And I think that at that time, the leadership of the student ministry that I was in as a teenager did a good job of including and reaching out and challenging me and those kinds of things. But what I see as I talk to so many student ministry leaders, the unfortunate circumstance is when a student ministry leader says, man, they're just so hard to reach. Their school is already trying to do that. I'm gonna put my focus on another group of students. They have this every single day. Their teachers talk to them about it every day. They have chapel, so I'm gonna turn my focus elsewhere and not waste time, so to speak, trying to get this group of kids that get it all the time to come. And that's really a wrong way to look at that segment of kids. Because they're not all believers. They're not all walking with Jesus actively every single day. And a lot of times it's those students, because they're around it so often, that struggle with what it really means to follow Jesus practically in their life every single day, and that it's not a school thing. So often it's those students who have what we would say is that double life kind of thing, where they're a certain way in school and then or church, and then outside of those things they act differently or talk differently or whatever. But man, there's so much discipling and impact that can be made with this group of students specifically. They need to see their faith as more than a textbook. And in a lot of ways, I think that's the role of the student pastor with a Christian school student, is to help them raise kind of up out of that academic environment and see Jesus as the personal relationship that we're meant to have with him.
Yeah, I think another way to look at this is through the lens of the spiritual warfare that your students are dealing with. And we'll talk about public school students and all of the influences that they face. I mean, the Christian school kids, honestly, are facing all the same temptations that the public school kids
are.
But I would say this, when you're looking at how Satan is trying to win the battle for the lives of those students, I would say it's much more dangerous for a student to be in a place where they find themselves bored with Christianity, because then they are totally numb to everything that you are trying to communicate to them. Whereas the student that has gone after partying, alcohol, all of those things, you know, they're going to be confronted with two very different realities. And so when they come and they hear truth that is life-giving and is not just, you know, taking away from them constantly, there's a very different reality there for them to analyze. I have this life and I have this life. But the student that is almost lulled to sleep in boredom with Christianity is just going to write off potentially everything that you're trying to build into them. And so, yeah, it is a difficult crowd, but it's almost one of the ones that are the neediest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we will go on to the next crowd, the creatives. So that's a really bad way to lump, I think, this crowd that we're getting ready to talk about together, because there's creativity in all of these segments. But this is your artsy group. It's the kids that are on that want you to come see their production of Willy Wonka. It's the kids that are in the band. It's the kids that are in the show choir. Those who like to paint in their house. All of the, you know, you get the idea, right? So we all have these.
I like to paint in my house.
I prefer painting outside of my house.
On the house.
Painting the house itself.
Yeah, so that's the student, Future Construction Workers of America, that we're talking about. Right. Now, but the creative kids that are in your student ministry, sometimes, so I would say this, this would be, as a student pastor, a difficult area for me. This was an area where, as we've used this phrase before, that I struggled to relate to on a direct level. Now, I sang in the choir in high school and things like that, but not at the level. Like, it wasn't my thing. You know, it wasn't my life.
Did you play a mean bass?
I played a mean bass guitar in the band Lighthouse 7.
That's right. I was in that band as well.
Yeah.
Playing a mean guitar as well.
Yeah. There was a days gone by. But
best left behind.
Yeah. So what are the challenges with reaching? I know some that I would have experienced in trying to identify with this crowd and just trying to build a relationship with every kind of student in our ministry. But what would you guys say are some challenges with reaching this group?
I think one of the biggest challenges with this group is experience in every church is a lot of times the students with this kind of talent, if they have the talent and not just the love of the arts, so to speak, but if they do have the talent, is how that can sometimes be lifted up and a light shine on it in ways that it's not on the other types of students, because maybe you're a great athlete and that gives you some influence. Maybe you're a super tech nerd and you can run everything, but this is the kind of thing that happens on a stage at church every week. And so this is something that a church looks at, this type of talent or a student with this capacity, and if they're not careful, if we're not careful as leaders, we can put some emphasis on this and make this something where the student maybe feels more appreciation or feels like they are more a part of what's going on because of the talents that they bring. So I think a challenge here is to make sure and help them see it's serving in the same way that greeters are serving, in the same way that people who are, you know, just doing whatever. And so I think this is one of those types of talents that is what I would say is like a stage type talent, especially the music and the music part of this, but also in some of the other ways. So I think that's one of the challenges when looking at that group, is to make sure that they keep that humility, understand that what they're doing is, you know, focused on Christ and not about the performance, so to speak, which bleeds into every group of students, but in this one particularly because of what happens in churches.
Yeah, how to give them opportunities to use their talents without feeding pride.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
Well, and some of that, you know, that is a little easier with the music crowd, you know, mm-hmm. because most student ministries are going to have some time of worship, you know, whether it's just one person with a guitar or if you've got a whole band or, you know, whatever that looks like. I think maybe it gets a little more challenging when you start getting into the the kids that like to paint in their house.
That's right.
But there are opportunities to use that kid's talent. I remember one time we were on a mission trip. We're in the van, and there's one girl that brought her sketch pad, and she's saying, "What should I draw? What should I draw?" And so just at random, I told her, "I want you to draw a hot air balloon who is getting its hot air from a dragon flying next to the hot air balloon." And I named a student. His first name is Ben. And I told her, "I want you to put Ben in the basket of the hot air balloon." She drew it. It was amazing. What did we do? It was the artwork for our next event t-shirt.
Yeah, it really was amazing. And that made her world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a way to use house painters in your ministry. But I think the true, you know, the real point there is,
or van painters.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Or sketch artists. You know, there are places for, I think the key there is with all of these segments of students, not stupids.
Really want to paint.
Anywhere you might want to paint. You gotta figure out ways to give them that outlet creatively.
Absolutely. So I think one of the ways to reach, if we could try to rate, we're struggling on this one. It is in the afternoon. We are pounding caffeine like it's our job, and
I'm painting here at the table, sketching a dragon.
I cannot even talk. I'm laughing so hard.
So one of the ways to reach this group of students, and I think it's missed a whole lot. And the excuse and reason why it's missed is, we want excellence and quality, and that's involving students in your worship team. I can't tell you how many times I've had the conversation with youth ministry leaders of, man, who leads your Wednesday night service? And the answer is, you know, I've got such and such band, or this person that comes in and does it. Mm-hmm. And the reason given of why students aren't involved is because I believe it should be excellent, and I believe it should be the highest quality. Now, we would agree with that.
Right.
Like, we would say you should do things in an excellent way.
Sure.
However, there are students sitting in your ministry who have musical ability. Now, we're not just saying, you know, Johnny that picked up the guitar last week that wants to lead worship for you should be thrown into that. We're not saying that. But when you train and develop a group of students to lead in this area, to lead worship, to help you design t-shirts for mm-hmm. your events, which is something I hate. I hate trying to design a t-shirt. And so if there are mm-hmm. students that love that and can use.
Yeah. Well, and that's part of the challenge too, though, is there are student pastors and leaders out there, you guys listening, gals listening right now, who you love that. You love leading worship. I've been at a church where the student pastor loved leading worship so much, I feel like he took the opportunity away from some really talented students. And so as leaders, we have to know that part of our job is to yield to those students and give them those opportunities that maybe even we do want, like design, like leading worship, whatever it may be. But at the same time, keeping that excellence and making sure that we do have excellence. But knowing that even if it is designing a t-shirt or leading worship, it's something we want to, if we could see them doing it in an excellent way, is far better than anything we could do, regardless of what we, you know, when we think of the quality or what we're producing.
Yeah. So discipleship isn't a cookie cutter thing, mm-hmm. right? In all of these segments, we're talking about challenges with them, and they're all different challenges, and strengths that they have, and they're all different strengths, and how we reach them are all different ways to reach them. Discipling a group of students isn't a cookie cutter thing. And so when we talk about this group of students, yielding to them and forming a way to develop their talent and pour into them, you're discipling them.
Right.
That is a way to disciple them, by finding out what they're passionate about and developing them to do it, and then giving them opportunity to do it. It is what we're called to do. You are put in your role to train the saints in the work of the ministry. And so often we use that passage in Ephesians to describe our adult volunteers. We're to train the saints for the work of the ministry. So we're going to recruit and train adult volunteers. And we don't even think about it in regards to our students. And you are called to recruit and train your students to do the work of the ministry. And so if that means hand the microphone to them to preach on a Wednesday night after you've worked with them and developed,
thoroughly examined what they will be saying,
you never in an open mic night
with several examples and practices.
Uh-huh. Yes, but you get to work with them on what God's teaching them and how to deliver
right.
a message. And the same thing can be true for the art and for the kids who enjoy drama and doing drama to illustrate some biblical principle. And the painting and the design and all of these things, they have talents and we just need to unleash them for that. Now, again, that's not giving up on excellence. That's finding a way to disciple your students through it to the point that they can lead and use their gifts.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's okay to set some standards. For example, the student that is scheduled to preach, you know, go ahead and tell them up front, this has got to get to a level of excellence before, you know, you can't just launch in regardless of how mm-hmm. it goes in practice.
Right.
You know, if you're going to come to me and tell me that you want to preach, then I'm going to make sure and schedule 3 dates where you come preach your message to me.
Mm-hmm.
And after the first one, we're going to edit and work on it and give you some pointers, and you're going to come back sure. and preach that with those edits. You know, you can help them be excellent. I don't know how many hours I have spent teaching a kid to play drums or play piano, or, I mean, there's been a lot of kids that I have just told, thank you for trying.
Preaching, you know, is what you're called.
You're going to need to audition again next year. You know, that's okay. You can do those things lovingly.
Right.
And still maintain a level of excellence. Ben and I had several speakers that came in, and we would tell them, we have a student band. And when you bring somebody in to preach and you say, we have a student band, a lot of times it's like, oh, you know, I'm going to have to do a lot of work to grab their attention. And then they'll turn around right before it's time for them to preach and say, they killed it.
Yeah. But it didn't start that way.
Right.
I think is the point. Like, yeah. So you worked with those kids, discipled them. And trained them. We brought in musician friends that were in the church,
yeah.
and taught people how to do it before they ever went on the stage. And the other thing that I've seen related to this time and time and time again is that students are going to identify and relate to other students in leadership better than they will relate to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could say the same message and deliver it better and more clear with awesome points, and you might even alliterate things and you walk away and think that was the most awesome message ever. A student could get up and talk for 10 minutes and deliver a pretty clear message with one point, the same thing that you said the week before, and you'll have students walk out of the room that Wednesday night and say, man, Johnny was awesome tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's one of their own. It's one of their peers that's teaching from what God is doing in their lives. And they know that this person is walking through the exact same things that they're walking through. So I loved, Chris, the way that you said it. And we're robbing them of an opportunity to serve, or
right.
we're stealing that away from them. And quite often that's the case. So I want to challenge you, look for this group of students, this segment of students, and find ways to plug them in to ministry and perhaps even a service project and giving you a fresh coat of paint on the house.
Mm-hmm.
So the last
or send them my way for a fresh coat of paint on my house.
The last segment that we want to cover is the uninterested. You may live in an area where you don't have Christian school students. You may have a ministry that is – you don't have all of these segments represented. I'm willing to bet that of the segments we've talked about, every student ministry has this one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a student or a handful of students or a room full of students that just don't care.
Turned around backward in their chair talking to the row behind them.
Yeah, they're just uninterested. They don't want to be there at all. Either they show up, who knows what reason. Their
yeah.
parents may make them. It may
yeah.
be better than them being at home for the night because their home life is horrible and this is the only place they can go.
Right.
What's the challenge here?
I think one of the challenges is my personal style of dealing with these students was often, hey, if you're not here to pay attention and listen to the God's word, then, you know, why are you here? And I think there's justification in saying some of that. At the same time, man, I want people who don't know Jesus to be in a place where they can hear and experience who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And so it's a very challenging situation. I think it's probably one of the hardest in ministry. I know it was for me, but for a lot of leaders who have apathetic students and just students that, you know, I came for the pizza that we had and hanging out and playing ping pong out here, but I guess I'll sit through this hour of this so I can experience that every week. And how many of these students have we had who after a couple years, months, weeks, whatever it was, actually did then hear the gospel message, respond to Jesus, and now are living for him in an awesome way. And so the challenge, the biggest challenge with him, I think, is to make sure we don't give up on them or push them away.
Yeah.
Because out of the mindset of I've got 70 students. I mean, just remember, Jesus would leave the 99 to go after the one. And so that's what I've had to think of when I think of these students, is it's so easy to say this one person shouldn't be able to detract the 99 who care. And I think there's some merit to that argument. I don't think it's a, you know, a perfect example here, but I do think we've got to be like Jesus in going after that one with everything that we have, not allowing to distract everybody else for sure, but having a mindset that I'm gonna win this person, I'm gonna go after this person and try to reach this person with the gospel versus just get rid of the problem.
Yeah.
Or remove something that doesn't make us as a speaker or a leader feel good about what we're doing.
Yeah, man, I agree with you. I too think this is one of the most difficult, and of the segments we've talked about, I would say this is the most difficult one of them all. And I think there are even two sub-segments to this.
Mm.
So there's the uninterested that claim to be Christians.
Right.
And give no evidence of caring. And then there's the uninterested who don't know Jesus at all.
Right.
And don't care because they don't know him.
Right.
And I think I think it's important to mention those two subgroups, because I think we would handle those two situations differently. Mm. Like if you're going to claim to be a follower of Jesus and disrupt and cause others not to be able to worship or right. listen, or you're going to be the troublemaker in the small group that, you know, leaders are constantly complaining about, then I think you handle that situation differently than a student who doesn't know Jesus, who comes in and sits on the back row and talks to his friend the whole time. Now, you can address a standard of behavior.
Right.
Because
and you should.
And you should, because that's something that, you know, a standard of behavior is addressed in school, maybe not in home for every kid, but in school, yes. And I think you should have a standard of behavior, but you're gonna use language, and you're going to not like – you're not going to use
not bad language.
Bad language.
As many right, four-letter right. words
strong
as possible.
Language.
You're going to use language clear that's different
language,
with that
right.
student. You're going to have more grace probably with that student than you will the I think that the major challenge here for me is how can we build a welcoming environment where students who don't know Jesus come and hear God's word, while at the same time we have an environment where our students who believe in Jesus can really feed on scripture in a way that they're not distracted from doing. And I think that's the challenge. Like, how do you hit both of those people at the same time? The great news there is that God's word can do that.
That's right.
God's word can take a student deeper, which deeper is, you know, whatever. People have different definitions of deeper. God's word can do something in the life of someone who doesn't know him and someone who's been walking with him for a few years at the same time. And that's, we can take comfort and encouragement in that.
Yeah, I think that's where it's hugely important to always stay grounded in the gospel.
Yeah.
Because every word that you preach is pointing to the gospel. It should be. Every word you preach right now may not be. And if that's the case, then
you need to make a shift. Yeah, that's right.
but when we are, you know, preaching the truth of any text, we're able to give the students that are really ready to dive in a deep truth of that text, and when it's rooted in the gospel, those that are brand new to the message are able to receive that very simple message of the gospel that just now has, you know, a little bit different skin on it than if you just gave a straight up Romans Road, you know. But it's a brand new picture every week that allows students to hear the gospel and drive their faith deeper, drive their knowledge of Scripture deeper. I think it reaches both audiences at the same time.
Yeah, we've kind of been talking about the how in this already. That's the second part of each segment. We've been talking about the how for a little bit. And I want to say that don't be afraid to directly challenge students. Mm-hmm. Talk to them. If somebody's being a problem because they're not interested and they're just a distraction, talk to them.
Yeah.
Have a loving, gracious conversation, but talk to them. Challenge them. If it's a person who professes Jesus and their parents are members of your church and they're there all the time, then you need to have a conversation with their parents. Mm-hmm. And you can't – my opinion on this is you can't allow the behavior of one or a few to keep you from accomplishing what God has called you to do in that ministry in discipling students. Mm-hmm. And so don't be afraid to, again, graciously – call students to step up,
right,
especially those who are saying they're Christians. Again, that's a different conversation. They're professing something that their life is clearly not outwardly confessing.
Yeah, and I think a big way that you can address this group and part of the how-to, if you will, is helping your leaders and your other volunteers lean in situations which it gets to distraction. You know, if there's an uninterested student or group of students and they're causing distraction in a service, at an event, your adult leaders need to know how to handle that in a good way.
Yeah.
And I think you can also help your students understand how to have positive peer pressure that steers those, maybe it's a friend that they brought. And again, they're lost. They don't have any reason to be interested, probably. So how do you help your students know? So I think it's communicating with your students, communicating with your adult leaders on the front end on how to handle situations in the midst of it. And then, like Ben said, communicating with parents, communicating directly with those students in another environment where it's safe for them, in which you can say the words that need to be said as you try to continue to reach these students versus, you know, the easiest way. Hey, why are you even coming here? You know, why? Yeah. Stay away. Obviously, you don't want to go there. You don't want a student to stay away, but you also want to help them understand what you're trying to accomplish and what you want to see God do in their life.
Yeah, and a lot of times I think in the frustration of a behavior that we don't find acceptable in some of those environments, we lose the desire to just love on those kids.
Yeah.
And as we know from the classic Christian song, love is a verb.
That's right. DC talk.
I think it's important for us to just go chase after those kids. I don't know how many kids have been through the doors of a ministry that I was in leadership of that I would go chase down. And it's obvious. They're like, I do not want to talk to you. I have no desire to interact with you. But it's okay to just be that annoying person that just says, hey, dude, I'm gonna care about you.
Yeah.
You know? And eventually it's going to be one time that I can remember so clearly, I just went out to a group of kids. They were being sarcastic. I mean, they were poking fun. And I just decided, I'm just gonna go in there and hang out with them. So I challenged them to a pull-up competition. Automatically won them over.
Mm-hmm. Did you win the competition?
Well, absolutely. I'm not going to lose.
You strategically chose.
You're going to need to verify this
victory. You want to choose the skinniest, least athletic one.
The uninterested sixth grade girl.
So how many did she do?
But it's just kind of those. It's like, hey, I'm going to come hang out with you. I'm going to interact with you. I'm going to chase after you. Because it's like you said, Chris. I mean, Jesus is going to leave the 99 and chase after the one. There is an intentionality that we have to chase after those kids, which is not easy. It's easier to play ping pong with a kid that's chasing you down to be in relationship with you and want your attention and learn from you. It's not as hard. It's not as easy to chase down the kids that don't want anything to do with you.
Right.
But it is our call.
Yeah. And continuously too, I think, is because I know for me looking back, like I can see faces in my head of, man, students that you try to do that with, and weeks go by, months go by, and conversations go by, and then the frustration eventually wears you down and you just give up. And you think, well, at least they're coming, and hopefully they'll hear something that clicks along the way. Yeah. And I would say that's a personal error of mine, is allowing the frustration of, man, spending those days and weeks and months and trying to chase them down and trying to have those conversations, and they're still not interested, and just saying, man, I'm gonna go after another group of students. But God has called you specifically to that group of students. I think that's what's so awesome about this, is that God has designed you as a leader for that group of students, and God has appointed, here's the crazy thing, God has appointed that group of students to you as a leader. So those students that are coming to your ministry, they have been appointed to you for you to lead. And we don't have to understand every reason why that is, but that is the reality. And so chase them down, find a way, or recruit leaders that identify with that group of students and empower them and train them to go chase down that group of students. If you are unsuccessful over and over and over and over again, then take a look at your adult volunteers and say, man, who among these people can chase after this group? Maybe it's a different personality or somebody with different interests. Well, we'll wrap it up right there in our discussion of the Christian schools, the creatives, and the uninterested, and how we can reach them. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. If you have, head over to iTunes and leave a rating and one of those written reviews. That really helps other people find this podcast to listen and hopefully be able to use stuff in their own student ministry every single week. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.